Your music has just been a blessing this morning, at least to me. If you've missed something, maybe you and I need to get some hearing aids or something. I know I do. I failed to mention a moment ago, I got a little choked up with the song just before our prayer list was brought up, that Brother Eddie's having a heart cath on Tuesday. Brother Larry is having a heart procedure also on Tuesday, and that Brother Troy remains in the hospital this morning, although he's been moved to rehab, and maybe we'll get to go home this week. But I wanted to mention those names for special needs today. Romans 8 this morning, we'll find our reading there in that 8th chapter, and the reading is a little bit lengthy from what I typically do on a Sunday morning, but it's all right. I'll remind you again, we know for sure when I'm reading this that this is what God is saying today. Everything else might be from me, but this is going to be from God this morning. When we come to our final law, spiritual law today, it's the 6th one, and we're just, I think I'm going to miss studying and putting together these thoughts. One has been built upon another, much like a house is built, the foundation and walls and the roof and the things. Today we're going to put the roof on, and that's going to be good. But law number one 5 weeks ago was that He is God and we are not. And it helps us to remember that. We learned that along the way. He is sovereignly God over everything, and He's especially sovereign over our lives, and it helps us. And law number two was, because He's God, He does not need us, but we sure need Him. And we really do. And everything we say, everything we do, we need to acknowledge that He doesn't need us, but we need Him. And then law number three was, what God asks of us or demands of us, He will supply. And we looked at Abraham and Isaac, and it seemed like a very impossible task that Abraham was asked to do, to take his son to Mount Moriah and to offer him there. But nevertheless, God had a plan, and He fulfilled that. What He asks, what He demands, He will supply. And the fourth law was found in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And it was a reminder that we walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm glad for that. That Hebrew passage will help us to live and move and become the kind of people that we need to be. Last week, we looked at life's trials. And we all have them. Some are not as great as others, but we all have them. I get that. And all of them are designed to conform us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily a trial that we just need to work through, but we need to realize that sometimes God has a plan and He's doing some things, but mainly trying to help us become more like Jesus. And if we'll do that, recognize that, we'll walk with Him and serve Him in a better way. There is a battle raging in our hearts sometimes, and in our land sometimes, and in the world for sure. The enemy is strong. The enemy is seeking to devour us if he can. We must seek, we must find that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope today in our thoughts that we read about and we'll be sharing this morning will be a blessing and a comfort and a help if you need that today. So if you can, would you mind standing for the reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 18 and reading through the end of the chapter. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption and to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. These whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. That then what shall we say to these, what then shall we say to these things? That if God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will we not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That's good stuff, is it not? Thank you. Be seated. Well, finishing the series, I'd like to consider this final message, the roof that's going on. Our building is being built, and the roof is going to be built today and put on, and I'd like to think that we're going to add a beautiful large steeple on top of it as we look at these thoughts this morning. So what God starts, He finishes. I'm glad for that. I say that very honestly as well as with a measure of pride today that I know what God has started in our lives, He's going to complete and finish. And so we look at a couple of things this morning and we'll ask God to bless. And we're going to just notice some truths. First of all, some truths that we can stand and lean upon. We need that. We need that in the presence of the day in which you and I are living. And the things that I think underneath the title here of truth, the first thing is, and it came to my mind, is that God is just faithful. We need that truth. We need to remember that truth. When the bottom falls out, when the trials come, when the temptations are there, We need to remember that God is faithful. That's one of the truths that you and I can hold fast to. When tested, when tried, when things are just going on that we don't like, our God is faithful. In an ever-changing world we're living. In an ever-changing nation we are living. But He is the same yesterday, and He is the same today, and He will be the same tomorrow, and He'll be the same forever. And I praise His name for that. I think of some things underneath the fact that God is faithful. And I wrote this down this week, and it came to my mind. And I sat there and I looked at it a bit, and I went, well, duh. But He is faithful to Himself. And I thought, well, how could He be unfaithful to Himself? The truth of the matter is, He is just God. And He will never be anything but God. He is faithful to Himself. And He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. He can never be less than God. He's faithful to His Word. Don't forget that when the trials come. Don't forget that when difficulties are in your life. Don't forget that He is faithful to His Word. And what He has said, He means. And He will bring it to pass. But here's something else I think that God is faithful to. He's faithful to me and you, His people. He always has been, always will be. And He's like that because He's just a faithful God. Amen?
Amen,
amen to that. And I'll tell you something else that came to my mind this week about how the truths that we need to lean on and stand upon. He's just a good God. Just a good God. He is good. And He's good because He's faithful. He won't let us down. He's not going to leave us alone. His character is pure and holy and perfect. And regardless of the outcome and regardless of the things going on, He is still wanting to do one thing in my life and yours as His children. And that is to conform us into the image of His Son. He's just working at that. What did Romans 8:28 say? It's full of hope for us. It's full of help for us. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, conforming us, building us, making us into the image of the dear Son of Jesus Christ. And He's not going to let us down. He's going to fulfill that. But I'll tell you something else our God is faithful at. He is faithful to the promises He has made to us. Now think about it. Not just an idle point here that we're trying to pull together. He's faithful to the promises. And every promise He's made will all come true for me and for you. Some of us are waiting maybe on some promises He's made, some things we'd like to see God do. And in the process of waiting, we think, well, has He forgotten about doing this or has He forgotten about that? And I think, absolutely not. So give me a moment to rehearse once again an Old Testament passage I'll read in just a second, but a story that comes from it. When the children of Israel had come from Egyptian bondage, and they were about to go into the promised land. And they eventually did. It was 40 years late, but they eventually did. God blessed them with water and with manna and food and quail and everything they needed. And finally, Israel crossed Jordan and went into the promised land. You know that. I know that. And we rejoice in the fact that they did. Israel received the promise in Joshua chapter 21. And a few verses that follow that three verses that are concluding thoughts in that 21st chapter. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which He had sworn to give their fathers. And they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed to come to pass. He's a faithful God. He will do what He said He would do. And I'm glad for that. The promises of God will come to pass. Maybe not in my lifetime, but they will come to pass because He said it, He promised it, and He'll deliver it. And I'm glad for that. God will complete His work in us. You remember a few years ago, or several years ago, there was that little, it started out with just all letters. Just, it didn't mean anything. Just a bunch of letters across the page. But each letter meant something. And each letter was like this. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And it's true. He's not finished with me. Not finished with you. It doesn't take me but a few seconds to look out there and see that He's not finished with some of you. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, sitting out there looking up here, and He ain't through with you yet, ain't He, big boy? And I hope He's not. I hope He's not. I want Him to work and lead and direct and use, get glory in my life and in this church's life and yours as well. Trials, troubles, they just overwhelm all of us. I get that. But remember, God is not finished with us yet. And I'm glad for that. He asked the question in verse 35. Who can separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation or distress? And he goes on to mention some things there. Do you know how many I counted? 17. 17 things that we're promised and reminded of God that cannot separate us from His love. 17 things he mentioned. And as verse 39 concludes, in case there might be somebody that says, oh, but you don't know about me and my life, he said these words, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God. He's going to finish what He started in my life, and He's going to finish what He started in your life. And we're glad for that. And the final thing this morning is salvation is guaranteed. And it really is. His salvation is guaranteed. I'm not talking about the salvation and how we get into Christ and how we stay in Christ. I'm talking about the fact that once we're in Christ, our salvation and what He's going to do in us and with us, it's guaranteed. If you purchase a car, a new one, it comes with a warranty. 3 years automatically, typically. 100,000 miles or 6 years or 100,000 miles, something like that. Comes with a warranty. Purchase appliance the same way. It can be extended or whatever. Or you can purchase an additional warranty to whatever you're purchasing. But with every warranty that's given, whether it's a car, an appliance, a phone, or whatever, there is an expiration date. Not with God. Amen. Isn't that good? I wish I could think of stuff like that by myself. I read that this week. Not with God. There is no expiration date with Him. All His promises are true and all His promises are going to be fulfilled. And He will never come a day when He said, Jim, I'm sorry, bud, you're out of warranty. Because we're just always in warranty with Him. And it's a guaranteed thing. Do you know why we will never wear out God and why there will never be a warranty that will expire? It's what I call the five golden links. There are five of them. It was in our reading this morning. This is why the warranty cannot expire. And it begins in verse 29. And the first thing it says is this. Whom He did foreknow. First link. Whom He did foreknow. The second link in this golden link chain, if you will, is not only those that He foreknew, but also those whom He, what? Predestined. Amen? Great words. Don't fall away from them. Don't shy back from them. He foreknew you. And He predestined you.
And if he foreknew you and he predestined you, he's going to do what? Call you. Call you as a child. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
I am. He's going to call you. And if he's called you, then he's going to do what? Justify you. Whom he also justified. And if he's going to justify you, and he has, then he is going to glorify you. And that word glorify is ED. Whom he knew, he glorified. Do you know God sees you right now as being glorified? In the process of time, he sees you already as being glorified in his presence. Now, I'm waiting for that. I'm looking forward to that. Sue got it Thursday week ago. Sarah's sister did. We're waiting for that. But God right now, listen, sees us as being glorified in his presence. The five golden links that do what? That guarantee the warranty, if you will. I don't know if that's a good way to put it, but it does. It guarantees the warranty. We will stand in his presence and like him shall be. For that will be glory for me and glory for you. So there's some truths that we have lost along the way. On the screen only. There are some truths that we claim. And so there's some treasures that we can hide in our hearts. We'll do that, won't we? Hide some treasures. This final thought in this series will come, I think, as a blessing to you. You can, number one, be certain of your salvation. If he started the work, he's going to complete the work. We just talked about that. Don't be like the fella that when asked, "Are you sure of your salvation?" said, "Well, I hope so." Is that all? Is that the best you can do? No. Listen, got a know-so salvation. It's not "I'm hoping so, I think so." I know so. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Don't you? And I know that when he started the work in my life and in your life, he's going to complete that work. And besides that, I've already said, who can separate us from the love of God? And he says there's 17 things that will never do that. Praise his name for the promises that he gives us. John writes in one of his epistles, there's five chapters there, and basically he says, I write these chapters that you might know some things. You remember that or know that? That you may know. Knowing what? Know that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That He is the Son of God. So there's some things you can know. There's some things you can be confident in as well today. That's B under this. You can be confident of God's plan for your life. You can be confident of the purposes of God in your life. Listen, Paul writes in Philippians and he says these words, he who begun a good work in you will complete that work. Another promise. He's going to complete it. Think about it. I like to call this the two great bookends. If God started it, there's a bookend, he's going to complete it. And everything in between is my life. He started a work in me, he will complete the work, and when he does, my life will be done. I'll be ready to be in his presence. The two great bookends. He who started the work will complete the work. You can take comfort in that. That's our final thought this morning. Take comfort in the midst of circumstances of life that are confusing and difficult. Listen, I don't read the paper much, but I do some. I look at the news more than I should. Typically Fox. Just FYI, don't like world news or other places. But I get what's going on in the world, don't you? And I wish I had a better theological way of saying this. But I just have not come up with one. And so here it is. We are in a mess. We're a mess. Our world is in a mess. Our nation is in a mess. Why? How did this mess get started? I'll tell you how. We began as a nation rejecting God. We don't need Him in the classroom. We don't need Him in the courtroom. We don't need Him in government buildings. We just don't need God too terribly much, do we, as a nation? We began rejecting Him. And we began as a nation lifting ourselves up since we no longer need Him. And financially, we are also in a mess. Worldwide and in our nation. It's not the world, and it's not the nation that we once lived in, is it? It's not the world that we want to live in. But I'll say this, praise God, it's not the world that we're going to live in. We can have confidence in that today. I praise Him for that. And this I know, that in the midst of confusing circumstances, we can find comfort in the presence and the power of God. Our world, in my opinion, I make this as simple as I can because it's a pretty simple-minded guy. Our world is like a great big chessboard. You ever thought about that? Nations keep moving into place, if you know what I mean. Things are going on with China and Russia and Iran. Things are just going on. And you know what? I'm sure there's a better way. All I can say is, let it roll. Let her roll. There's a better day coming for me and you. Amen. There's a better day coming for God's people. Because these things, God said, must come to pass. Take comfort in that. Be comforted in knowing that you can stay calm in the storm. I'll tell you something. God is faithful. God is good. And God is going to keep His promises. The last statements I make in this series, God is good and God is faithful and God is going to keep His promises. We will claim that. No matter how difficult life might become. Won't we? That's right. Heavenly Father, we want to pause to thank You for our time together this morning. Thank You for this little brief series that has certainly been a help and a comfort and some things I've needed in my own life. I hope our church is stronger today because of these messages. Pray this morning that You'd bless this invitation that we're about to give and that You'll just move in lives. Maybe there are those that are looking for a church home and they feel that this is where they could serve. Maybe there are those this morning that are here that has never trusted You. They do not have the assurance that God's people have concerning a world that's just turned upside down. So bless every life and each heart. And each decision that's going to be made, you get the praise and you get the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please.